If you come in, you can find a seat in the front half of the Beis Medrash. It's both an awkward and special moment to introduce Rav Schechter. And he certainly is someone whom we all know doesn't really require introduction. I'll just say two things. I would say, number one, I'm well aware of the fact that his schedule is extraordinarily packed. And do we express our Karas HaTov to Rav Schechter for taking time out to spend time with us, and hopefully to give a whole new layer, dimension of meaning to today and to our relationship with Eretz Yisrael. And I'll just say, I remember, as mentioned to my Talmidim this morning, I have fond memories of it was either 20 years ago or 20 years and a day ago, the first Yom HaSmut that was in the Shir, and I remember it was just a remarkable experience. The first time in my life to hear a Gadol B'Torah give a sophisticated, Torah profound, and Makoros rich approach to Eretz Yisrael and to Medinas Yisrael. And that was it was a very special experience that I still refer back to and look forward to all of us sharing that experience. It's a personal pleasure and a professional privilege. Rabbi Taubes could not be here. He's unfortunately, L'davono, he's locked up in a meeting they couldn't get out of. But it's a pleasure and a privilege to present Rabbi Schechter.
There is a sefer that's entitled Kol HaTor. It's written by a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. The Gemara talks in one place in Maseches Sukkah about a concept of Mashiach ben Yosef. We know about Mashiach ben David, a descendant of David HaMelech ben Achaben, who in the end of days will be the Melech over Eretz Yisrael and build a Beis HaMikdash and so on. And the Gemara in one place in Maseches Sukkah talks about a concept of Mashiach ben Yosef, who will be before Mashiach ben David. Apparently, in the Zohar, the concept is discussed of at length. I'm not familiar. And this whole Sefer Kol HaTor, which is attributed to one of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, quotes a lot from the Vilna Gaon, quotes heavily from the Vilna Gaon about this topic of Mashiach ben Yosef, and he quotes in the name of the Vilna Gaon that he felt that the area where he was most mechadesh was not in Pagin and Dibur, and not in Migal Lehoitzi, and not in Edis Lekim Adova, was in the area of Mashiach ben Yosef. He felt that if he would have only been born into this world to be Mevar Din Yonim, Mashiach ben Yosef, Dayo, that would have been sufficient. What is the Iker of the Mashiach ben Yosef? So they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon, all based on passages in the Zohar. It says, Vayaka Yosef Esecha Vehem Lahiki Ruhu. Mashiach ben Yosef will precede the coming of Mashiach ben David. And it'll be a p'china that Klal Yisrael won't realize what's happening. We won't really realize that this is the beginning of the coming of the Mashiach. So on this Sefer, which was available in Eretz Yisrael, it was reprinted by Rabbi Mendel Kasha, the one who did all the work on the Torah Shlema. But it was before the days of Rabbi Mendel Kasha. So on this Sefer, which way preceded the times of 1948, the author writes something about the two special days. He doesn't refer to Heir and Vavir, he refers to what the Mekubalim refer to as Yisod Shebet Tiferes and Malchus Shebet Tiferes. That's Heir and Vavir. That something major is going to occur on those 2 days that's going to lead to the coming of Mashiach. And then he talks about something that's going to occur on the day of Chesed Shebet Malchus, that's the 28th of Iyar, that's Yom Yerushalayim. So there's one of the professors in the college here who was brought up in Eretz Yisrael. He says he remembers when they established the Medina on Heir, it was really not legal. The British mandate was until midnight on Leil Shabbos, till Friday night of May 5th. And they didn't have the right to establish the Medina till Friday night, but they didn't want to... Some of those who signed the declaration of the Medina were Shomer Shabbos. They were not all Shomer Shabbos. Some of them were Shomer Shabbos. So they didn't want to be Mechal Shabbos to sign it on Shabbos. They signed it on Heir, but it wasn't really legal because the British still had officially the mandate over Eretz Yisrael till Friday night. So it's really Heir or Vavir. So one of the Rabbonim who teaches in the college says he remembers that Rabbi Chalap's grandfather, Rabbi Yankee Moshe Chalap, was dancing from joy. Now he understands what the Kol HaTor is talking about. He mentions these 2 dates, the Yisod Shebet Tiferes and the Malchus Shebet Tiferes, that's the Heir and the Vavim. Now he understands what he's talking about. That's the Hakamas HaMedina that was written by the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. He doesn't understand what's the Chesed Shebet Malchus. What happened on Chesed Shebet Malchus? Yom Yerushalayim didn't occur till after he passed away. Rabbi Moshe Chalap wasn't alive. when they captured Yerushalayim. But there is apparently a mucker in this Kol HaTorah. There are those who claim that Rabbi Mendel Kasha forged the whole book, and he wrote it after the Hakamas HaMedina, but that's not true. The book was around. The professor in the college is older than me. He remembers Rabbi Yankel Moshe dancing from joy. Now he understands what the Kol HaTorah is talking about the Yisod Shebet Teferis and the Malchus Shebet Teferis. We have in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, that these are Yomim Naroim, so that if there's a Din Torah, and the Bezna has to put somebody in Cherem, or Bezna has to have somebody swear, so you should avoid having people swear on Yomim Naroim season, because they're serious days, and the person may be punished more if he's going to swear falsely, or if you put him in Cherem, it's a more serious day. So the Mekubalim give a list of additional dates during the course of the year, which are very serious days, when one should, the Bezin should not be Matal Cherem, so one of, and no one knows what in the world these days are supposed to correspond to. So one of those dates is Heir. This is printed centuries before 1948. And it has a whole list of additional days. We don't know what the days are supposed to correspond to, but Heir, we have a little bit of an idea. I was born in the middle of the Second World War. And my parents told me when I was born, it was such a low for the Jewish people. They were so depressed. They thought this is the end of the whole Jewish people. Rabbi Soloveitchik, the yeshiva was observing the 20th yahrzeit of Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik had for a year or so, he had something like a kollel in Boston before his father passed away. His father was teaching here in yeshiva, and after Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik passed away, then they invited Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik to come teach here in the yeshiva. So about a year or so before his father passed away, he had a bit of a kollel there. And one of the, about 10 people or so, 10, 15 people, so one of the people told me, the shiurim were out of this world. It was so wonderful. It was marvelous. They loved it. Out of this world. They learned kelim. Kelim was so gishmak, like Bava Kama. It was out of this world. So I said, do you have any notes? So he said, notes? Who was going to write notes? Who are we going to write notes for? They thought, that's the end of the world of learning. Rabbi Soloveitchik is staying over Torah, and they're the last people in the world who are going to hear it, and they're going to die, and that's going to be the end. They tell the story that one of the Sfarim stores used to be on the Lower East Side, where Chinatown is now. Now all the Sfarim stores are in Flatbush, Borough Park, but everything used to be on the Lower East Side. So they say that in the 1950s, afterwards, they sold, one of the Sfarim stores sold the Ktzai Sachayshin to Yeshiva Bacher, and the Mocha Sfarim said he thinks this is the last volume of the Ktzais that will ever be sold in the whole wide world. They thought that's the end of the Torah. The Nazis killed so many Jews. They wiped out all the yeshivas. They killed all the Rabbanim, all the Tamid Chachamim. They thought at that time that was the end of all of Yiddishkeit. And the Vatican at that time, they have in the stories that are told from the Shoah, so they have that many of the Nazi generals, when they would be torturing the Jews, so they would ask them point blank, do you still believe that you are the Am HaNivcha? How can you be the Am HaNivcha? How can you be the chosen nation if we're killing all of you? So the Vatican at that time was very successful in converting many of the Jews. How can we be the Am HaNivcha if they're killing millions of Jews? They're burning them, they're killing them, they're burning them alive, they're shooting them. No one ever thought that there's going to be a Hakamas HaMedina. The Hakamas HaMedina brought back pride to the Jewish people. People after the war were afraid to perform bris milah on their children. They were afraid they shouldn't be able to be identified as a Jew. During the war, during the Nazi period, many people would only be able to be identified as Jewish because of the fact that they had a bris milah. People were afraid to tell their children that they were Jewish. They were embarrassed to be identified as Jews. And the Hakamas HaMedina brought back Jewish pride, which is an important thing. The Pasuk Tehillim refers to Eretz Yisrael as Gaon Yaakov, the pride of the Jewish people. The Gemara says in the beginning of Chagiga, commenting on the Pasuk Navi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheds tears every day, and he sheds tears over the fact that the Jewish people are in Golus, and what is there to shed tears about? The Gemara says the pride of the Jewish people was lost. God is crying over the fact that the Jewish people lost their pride. We don't have a nation, and we're floating around. We don't have our own country. You come back to Eretz Yisrael. That's what to be proud about. The Gemara considers that something significant. Soloveitchik used to point out, we shouldn't feel a debt of gratitude to the British, towards the British for giving us Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael legally belonged to the Jewish people from day number one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, "Kum hisalach ba'aretz l'or kol ruach b'kilcho etineno." So this was not a promise that in the distant future he's going to give him Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in Bava Basra understands that this was a kinyan chazaka. Avraham Avinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, walk around the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Hisalach ba'aretz l'or kol ruach, and this constituted a kinyan chazaka. The Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Kuf has a machlokes hatanoim whether this form of kinyan chazaka even applies b'zman hazeh. Or maybe it was only Hayroa Shua at that time. So the Gemara discusses the details. So the question begs itself, if Avraham Avinu made a kinyan chazaka, it already belonged to him, so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make a bris with Avraham and then later a bris with Yitzchak and a bris with Yaakov? He kept on making a bris, a covenant that he's going to give Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people. What do you have to make a bris? He already gave it to Avraham Avinu. And when Avraham Avinu died, so it went by Yerusha to Yitzchak. When Yitzchak died, it went by Yerusha to Yaakov Avinu. Why was there a need for a bris? So the answer is, the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash points out several times that the concept of a bris is like a shvua, and it means I'll call upon him under all circumstances. Eretz Yisrael will belong to the Jews under all circumstances, despite the fact that usually we have an international principle of kibush melchama. The Gemara has a whole sugi in Gittin, Ebshenishba, Pdo'u, and the sugi in the middle of Gittin. The Gemara learns that from Psukim, whether one non-Jewish nation wages war against another non-Jewish nation, or the Jews wage war against non-Jews, or the non-Jews wage war against the Jews, the army that wins the war acquires ownership of all of the property, the land, and the people, and all the metaltalim, everything belongs to the winning army. So this principle of Kibish Muhammad, the international principle, which is learned out from Psukim and Tanakh, applies to everything in the world except for Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Avraham Avinu, with Yitzchak and Yaakov. Eretz Yisrael will always belong to the Jewish people. And even during the 70 years of Golus Babel, the Jewish people, each and every individual Jew, lost his ownership in Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't make the bris for each and every person. He'll never lose his ownership. But the bris was made with Bnei Yisrael as a klal, with Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael never lost their ownership of Eretz Yisrael. And all after the Churban Bayis Sheni also, we never lost our ownership. Klal Yisrael always owned Eretz Yisrael. The British were running the show for a while, the Turks were running the show, but legally, al pi din, Eretz Yisrael always belonged to the Jewish people. In the early years after Hakamas HaMedina, there was a Yom HaAtzmaut observance in Cleveland that was co-sponsored by the Aguda and by the Mizrahi. And the bottom of the invitation, they had the name of Rabbi Yemeir Bloch, who was founded the Telzi Yeshiva in Cleveland, and Mrs. Mordechai Gifter, whose husband was at that time connected with the yeshiva. So one of the balabatim from Breuer's community in the neighborhood sent a letter to Rabbi Yemeir Bloch, how can you co-sponsor a Yom HaAtzmaut observance? We don't believe in the Medina. How can you support something about Yom HaAtzmaut? So he wrote back a letter, we do believe in the Medina. The Aguda does believe in the Medina. He writes in his letter, and the letter is available as printed. I wouldn't want to attend a Yom HaAtzmaut observance that's sponsored by the Mizrahi because they may have something that I would be offended by, that I wouldn't agree to. But if I'm co-sponsoring it, so I have veto power, so I'm going to see to it that the whole observance will be, according to my opinion, Lefi Ruach HaTorah. And he continues to write in the letter that there are three things that in the years before the Second World War in Europe, the religious Jews ran away from because they were taken over by the anti-religious Jews. Zionism is one, and speaking Loshon HaKodesh is the second one, and learning Tanakh is the third one, because the Apikursim used to, Achad Ha'am and his group, used to deliver papers in Hebrew, and they were writing in Hebrew. So the religious Jews ran away from Loshon HaKodesh. They said Yiddish is the Loshon HaKodesh, and because the anti-religious Jews wanted, they all seized the opportunity of joining the, forming the Zionist organization, and their intention was to establish a Medina to replace the Jewish religion, the one we only need any longer for the Jewish religion. So that's why the religious Jews ran away from it. But Eretz Yisrael is part and parcel of the Jewish tradition. It's part of the Torah. It's one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. And because the Apikursim was delving a lot into Tanakh, so the religious Jews ran away from it. So Rabbi Yemeir Bloch writes, that's not right. These three, Zionism and learning of Tanakh and speaking Hebrew, is part of our Torah. This is an integral part of the Torah. We should seize back all of the three. We should learn Tanakh according to the tradition of the Torah Shebal Peh. We should speak Hebrew properly. We should learn to speak Lashon HaKodesh properly. And we should observe Zionism in the proper fashion as a part of the Taryak Mitzvah Satorah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the bris with Avraham Avinu that is giving him Eretz Yisrael and will never be taken away from the Jewish people, we'll never lose our ownership. So Avraham Avinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Bama eda ki yiroshenu." So the Gemara in the last daf in Maseches Megillah, the last Amid base in Maseches Megillah, the Gemara says, what's the pshat? He didn't trust God. He said, how do I know you're not going to fool me? How do I know you're telling the truth? The Gemara doesn't understand it like that. The Gemara understands, "Bama eda bezes chus." What do I and my children have to be medactic about to make sure that we should be zeichet balabatav over Eretz Yisrael? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, kol yeglem ushaleshes, which means b'schus hakrabas hakarbonis. Make sure that you makir karbonis, and in that schus you'll have the right to have Eretz Yisrael. So then Avraham Avinu asks, Rabbanu Shalom, this part doesn't appear a chumish, this part the Gemara has. Avraham Avinu asks the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's going to be b'zman shein beis hamikdash kayim? So we won't be able to bring any karbonos, and what schus will be entitled, will my descendants be entitled to hold Eretz Yisrael? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers him, this is how the Gemara records it, that we should recite Parshas HaKarbonos Amal Ani Aleim Kilu Hikrivum. Those who are Zionists have to say karbonos every day. If you want to have a Medina, you have to plan someday to build a Beis HaMikdash and to bring karbonos. If you plan to leave that part, many of the secular anti-religious Zionists, they want, we should give the old city to the Arabs, and if we ever want to visit there, to visit what the Jewish Beis HaMikdash used to be like, so we'll show our passport, and we'll go to this strange country, and then we'll come back to the modern Israel. We don't want to live there. We don't want to have anything to do with the Beis HaMikdash. Those who don't want to have anything to do with Beis HaMikdash have no right to balabata over Eretz Yisrael. Only in the schus of HaKrovas HaKrobonis do we have a right. So those who want to have Eretz Yisrael have to have in mind that the ultimate goal is going to be to build a Beis HaMikdosh and to be makir karbonos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This Shabbos is going to read Achrei Mois and Kedoshim. So at the end of Parshas Kedoshim, the Chumash says we should be careful about Gili Arayas. Lo soki eschem ha'aretz. Eretz Yisrael shouldn't vomit us out. Kashakos ha'goy asher lefnechem. Just like Eretz Yisrael vomited out the goyim who lived there before the Jewish people would arrive in Eretz Yisrael. So we should be careful about Gili Arayis in Eretz Yisrael, that the land shouldn't vomit us out. So the Ramban poses the question, the Mishnah in Kiddushin, the end of the first parak, divides the mitzvahs into two categories. You have Choyves Karka, agricultural mitzvahs, and you have Choyves Aguf, obligations, mitzvahs that the individual has to observe. The Choyves Karka only apply in Eretz Yisrael, min HaTorah. The mitzvahs HaTliyas Baretz only apply in Eretz Yisrael. But Gili Arayis, that applies all over the whole wide world. What's unique about Eretz Yisrael? So the Ramban says, yes, that's correct. But still, the Iker, Mokam, Shmiras, Kol HaMitzvahs, Kulam, even the Sheva Mitzvahs, Bnei Noach, the Arayis, even the Sheva Mitzvahs, the Iker Mitzvah, Iker place for Shmiras, Kol HaMitzvahs is really Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech over Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is referred to by the Chazal in the Midrashim as Paltan Shel Melech, the palace of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And the Gemara says, the Abnei Nezer has a long tshuva about this, and he interprets the Gemara as saying, if you plan to violate Averis, you better stay in Chutz Lords. Anyone who moves to Eretz Yisrael does the Averis in Eretz Yisrael, the Averis are considered more serious there. That's that person will burn an American flag here in Washington Heights. So it's disrespectful to the Medina, you're buried by Malchus, but if you burn the flag in front of the Congress, you burn the flag, burn the American flag in front of the White House, that's a bigger Averis, that's more buried by Malchus. So if you do any averis in Eretz Yisrael, that's like being married by Malchus in the presence of the Melech, Mamish and Paltan Shel Melech. So the Gemara says that the Amoraim and Babel were considering moving to Eretz Yisrael. So when they had a cholam that they were considered in heaven, they were considered pure from sin, so then they would go. Whoever was still considered a sinner wouldn't move to Eretz Yisrael, because if you're going to sin in Eretz Yisrael, it's always considered a greater sin. There are different aspects to Eretz Yisrael. Some made a comment, the Ramban in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Ramban wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs, he tries to list off what in his opinion are the 613 mitzvahs. So the Ramban deletes several of the mitzvahs essay of the Rambam and several of the mitzvahs less essay of the Rambam, so he has to replace them with other mitzvahs. So at the end of the Minyan HaMitzvahs essay, he gives you the list of the mitzvahs that he has to add on to replace those that he deleted for the Rambam's list. So one of the mitzvah dalet of the Ramban is to establish a Medina in Eretz Yisrael. So those who said, oh, There are certain shailas that the Rabbanim paskin, there are certain shailas that they have to paskin min ha-shamayim. So this shaila was always get paskin min ha-shamayim, the hashgacha min ha-shamayim, paskin like the Ramban, that there is such a mitzvah as establishing a Medina. Truth of the matter is that that's not the machlokes between the Ramban and the Rambam. The mitzvah to establish a Medina was listed by the Rambam also. The Rambam in the very beginning of Hilchas Malachim says, he's quoting a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf and Beis Gimel Mitzvahs, Nitztava Yisrael b'chnisosim la'aretz, the Jewish people, when they entered Eretz Yisrael, became obligated to observe three mitzvahs, and the first mitzvah is to establish a Jewish government over all of Eretz Yisrael, l'hamid l'hem melech. So what is the Ramban arguing with the Rambam? What did the Ramban add an additional mitzvah that the Rambam forgot to mention? So you look in the Ramban, he's not adding the mitzvah of Hakamas HaMedina. That's the Megillas Esther, is a commentary printed on the side of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, which is written to defend the Rambam from all of the Hasogas of the Ramban. So the Megillas Esther understood the Hasogah of the Ramban to be why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of Hakamas HaMedina, and the Megillas Esther defends it. So the truth of the matter, the Avnei Nezer says, that's not what the Ramban came to disagree about. The Rambam did count that mitzvah. Ramban came to argue why the Rambam didn't mention the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. He mentioned the mitzvah to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, but he never mentioned the mitzvah, he never listed as an independent mitzvah, the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So some Achrayim come to explain, the Knesset HaGdolah writes that the Rambam apparently thinks that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only Midi Rabbanan, which is very difficult. You look at the Chumash is Deraisa. The simple reading of the Chumash all over sounds like we're all supposed to be living in Eretz Yisrael. Very difficult to assume that the Rambam's understanding was that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only by the Rabban. So most of the Achrayim say, no, the Rambam agrees with the Ramban that there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but he thinks that it doesn't deserve to be counted as an independent mitzvah. It's part of some other mitzvah or another. Which mitzvah is it part of? So some of the Achrayim suggest, perhaps it's part of the mitzvah of Avos Yitzchok. The Rambam counted as a mitzvah, we should try to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So one way to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by living in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, Kol Ador b'Eretz Yisrael kilo yesh lo elaka, Kol Ador b'chutz lo'aretz kilo ein lo elaka. The Gemara shows based on Psukim in Tanakh. So that's one way to fulfill the mitzvah of Avos Yitzchok. Other Achrayim say, no, Mistama the Rambam agrees with this Ramban on today's Parsha, Parsha's Kedoshim, that every single one of the Taryag Mitzvahs, if it's observed in Eretz Yisrael, is enhanced. So there is no independent mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. When you like tefillah in Eretz Yisrael, it's a deeper meaning in the tefillah. When you observe Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, it's a deeper meaning to the Shabbos. When you keep kashos, when you keep taras ha-mishpacha, when you listen to tkiyah shofar, every single mitzvah, when it's fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael, is a stronger mitzvah. But the Pashtus is, most of the Achrayim disagree with the Knesset HaGdolah. Most of them say the Rambam also agrees that there certainly is a mitzvah and a Torah to live in Eretz Yisrael, just that the Rambam, for some reason or another, decided that it should not be counted as an independent mitzvah. There is a fascinating line that appears in the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Usually the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs just gives a brief paragraph to describe the mitzvah, each mitzvah. And there's one mitzvah, Kuf Nun Gimel. Mitzvah says it, Kuf Nun Gimel, the mitzvah of Kriyas Haluach. The Rambam counts as one mitzvah. Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Shana, he counts as one mitzvah. The Ramban thinks they should be counted as two different mitzvahs. And the Rambam counts it as one mitzvah. And then he elaborates, and he says that years ago, the Kriyas Haluach used to be established by the Bez Din of three, appointed by the Bez Din HaGadol. Today, we don't have any Bez Din HaGadol. So who declares Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Shana? So the Rambam says, we have a halacha l'moshe misinai, that bizman she'ein Sanhedrin, when there's no Sanhedrin, then the Rosh HaChodeshim and the Yavim Tevim happen by themselves, according to the observance of the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam emphasizes, only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael have the status of Klal Yisrael. All the Jews all over the world have a Kedushas Yisrael, but we're all considered Yechidim. The Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, that's called Klal Yisrael. And the Rambam quotes that Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Shana, the Gemara says, has to be done in Eretz Yisrael. Why so? Because Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Shana, even when the Bez Nagodol does it, Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Shana is accomplished through Klal Yisrael. It's not Bez Nagodol paskening Shailas, it's Bez Nagodol as the representatives of Klal Yisrael. Then the Rambam has a line that if one could imagine Cholila, that's how it says in the translation. I guess it's straight from the Arabic. The Sefer HaMitzvah was written originally in Arabic. If one could imagine Cholila, that there would be a Shoah, and all the Jews would be killed, but there would be survivors, there would be millions and millions of survivors living all over the world, but there wouldn't be any Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, then it would come out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu violated his promise to the Jewish people that Klal Yisrael would always survive. Klal Yisrael only refers to the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. All the Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz are considered Yechidim. Basically, this is a Gemara. The Rambam is quoting the Gemara in Tainis. The Gemara says in Maseches Tainis, when you need rain, so you say, B'sein Talamot and Baruch Aleinu. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a dry season. Starting from Pesach till Sukkot, there's a dry season. So it hardly ever rains. So you don't say B'sein Talamot, you say B'sein Baruch. What if you have a business in Eretz Yisrael and you need rain? And I want to have rain. The whole community doesn't need rain. So then the Gemara says, you don't say B'sein Talamot and Baruch Aleinu. You should say B'sein Talamot and Shmak Aleinu. That's your personal bakosha. You only say B'sein Talamot and Baruch Aleinu if the kehillah, if the tzibur needs rain. So then the Gemara says, what if you have an ir gedoyla ke Ninveh, you have a big city like Ninveh where there's a tremendous Jewish population, maybe they should say B'sein Talamot even in the middle of the summer because the whole community needs rain? So the Gemara says, no, even a big city like Ninveh is ki yichidim damu. The Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, that's called the tzibur. And the Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz, even if it's a tremendous population, they're considered yichidim. So the Rambam says the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael today, the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael today are the ones who are establishing when Rosh Chodesh is and when Yontem. What Jews lived in Eretz Yisrael in the days of the Rambam? Who was there in Eretz Yisrael? So the Chasam Sofer writes, and one of his Jews, there were probably 10 Jewish farmers. So those 10 Jewish farmers, that's called Klal Yisrael. And all the Jews who live all over in the world in Chutz La'aretz, that's called Yechidim. The Rambam has this in another place. The Avnei Nezer has a tshuva about this. The first two tshuvas in the second chelik Avnei Nezer Orach Chaim talk about Hilchas Rosh Chodesh. The second chelik Orach Chaim starts with Hilchas Rosh Chodesh. So he has two tshuvas where he talks about the Pirush HaMishnayis LaHaRambam Mamchoris and Daf Chof Tes. The Mishnah there Mamchoris talks about Smicha. The Smicha ordination can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. We confer Smicha in Chutz La'aretz. It's only imitation Smicha. That's based on a takona that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi made, that Talmud al Yore, a Talmud shouldn't pass on any Shabbos unless not al Rishus me Rabbo, but it's not identical with Smicha. It's a different din. The Ramon Yoredeh quotes this from the Abarbanel. I think it's the only place where the Ramah quotes the Abarbanel, saying that the Smicha that we have today is only imitation Smicha. It's not really Smicha Menatar. We know that. It's not a Chiddush in the Abarbanel. That's what it says in the Gemara. The chain of smicha has been broken a long time ago because smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael by one who already has smicha. So the Rambam writes there in the Pirush HaMishnayis and B'choris, why is the halacha so? Why can smicha only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael? So he says, because smicha is not a private affair. I receive smicha from my Rebbe, I have a right to transmit the smicha to someone else. No. If I receive smicha from my Rebbe, I have the right to represent Klal Yisrael and confer smicha to new people. So representing Klal Yisrael can only happen in Eretz Yisrael. All the Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz are considered ki yichidim domu. So the Rambam shows that this is true. Instead of quoting the Gemara in Tainus, the Gemara says all the Jews who live in the big city here, Gedola Keninveh, are considered ki yichidim domu. So the Rambam quotes a different Gemara in the beginning of Hoirius. There is an institution in Parshas Vayikra that's called Par Helam Dova Shel Tzibur. If a person, an individual person, violates an Aver B'Shoigeg, he eats chelav adam b'shoigeg, goes machal Shabbos b'shoigeg, he does an aver b'shoigeg, which if he would have violated it b'mezid, he would have been chayv kares. So if he violates that aver b'shoigeg, he has to bring a korban chatos. So the pasuk says in Chumash, what if nelam dover me'eni hakohol? What if the Bez Nagorol made a mistake in Pesach? They said you're allowed to turn on lights on Shabbos, so they said you're allowed to eat a certain kind of chelav. And then a year later, they realize they made a mistake, and they reverse the psak. They tell, they advertise, no one should do this avera. We made a mistake. It's a malocha deraisa. It's an isa chela v'dam deraisa, and you're not allowed to do it. And it turns out that many people, roiv hatzibah, violated avera. So if 51% of the tzibah, roiv hatzibah, violated the isa b'shoigig because of the mistake in psak of the Bez Nagadol, we don't require of each and every individual Jew that he should bring a korban chatos. The Bez Nagadol brings a parhel and dovah shel tzibah, they bring a chatos, and everybody gets a kapora. So the Gemara discusses there in the beginning of Hoiris, how do you establish whether roiv hatzibah violated avera or not? Who counts? So the Gemara says, b'hoiro, with respect to this mistake in psak of the Bez Nagadol, halacha acharov yoshvei Eretz Yisrael, only those who live in Eretz Yisrael count. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk, from Sefer Melachim, that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, so everybody came from the northern points, from the northernmost point in Eretz Yisrael to the southernmost point in Eretz Yisrael, Kol Gadol Melevoy Chamos Ad Nachem Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says, you see from that pasuk, that Kohol, the Tziruf of Klal Yisrael, only applies to those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, from the northernmost point to the southernmost point. So the Gemara says it benigeh to Parhal Adobe Shal Tzibur, that you have to determine whether Roiv HaTzibur violated Aver. Roiv HaTzibur depends on the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, even though the overwhelming majority of the Jews, let's say, live in Chutz Lorenz. But still, they're called Yechidim. Roiv HaTzibur depends on the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam applies it also benigeh to Smicha, that when Smicha is conferred, it's conferred on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Not a private affair. Smicha is not a private issue. I have smicha, I have a right to confer smicha. You have no right to confer smicha. You have a right to represent Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is conferring the smicha to the candidate for ordination. And the Avnei Nezer puts this together with the other Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, where the Rambam explained that Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashana today is accomplished by the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. In the days of the Rambam, there were hardly any Jews who lived in Eretz Yisrael. The 10 farmers, the Chassam Sefer says. The Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, they are the Klal Yisrael. And by their determining when Rosh Chodesh should be and when Yontif should be observed, they make it into Rosh Chodesh and they make it into Yontif. The Gemara has a startling statement based on Psukim in Chumash that Eretz Yisrael gavoha mikol harotzes and Yerushalayim is gavoha mikol Eretz Yisrael. This is very startling because we know it's not true. The Swiss Alps is a higher elevation above sea level than Eretz Yisrael. And Yerushalayim is not the highest elevation. The Gemara itself knows that there is a city, Ein Itim. David HaMelech originally wanted to build a Beis HaMikdash, and he thought that it makes most sense to build a Beis HaMikdash in the location of Ein Itim, which the highest elevation above sea level in Eretz Yisrael, higher than Yerushalayim. And then he discussed it with the Navis, and the Navis said, no, it's better to go down a little bit rather than build the Beis HaMikdash in the location of the highest elevation. We should go down a little bit and build in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara knew that Ein Itim was a higher elevation. So how did the Gemara derive from the Psukim that Yerushalayim is Gevayim Mekol Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael Gevayim Mekol Haratz? This is just not true. So the Baal HaMo'or in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chof and Beis, interprets a passage in the Gemara. There is a tongue twister of a Gemara there. Rashi and Tosfos have a difficult pshat. So the Baal HaMo'or and the Kuzari and several other Rishonim have an interpretation in the Gemara. The Gemara is talking about the issue of the international dateline. So the Baal HaMo'or explains that the Novi Yecheskel refers to Yerushalayim as Tabur HaOretz, means the highest elevation in Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean, the highest elevation in the world? Why is the highest elevation? The truth of the matter is, it means like this. We always visualize the world as a globe, and we always visualize the North Pole on top. You can just as well visualize the South Pole on top. I was born in Scranton, Pennsylvania. You can hold Scranton on top. You can hold whatever you want on top and say that's the highest place in the world. So when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, which city did he hold on top? So the Baal HaMo'or says, that's what it means. He held Eretz Yisrael on top and held Yerushalayim on top. Doesn't mean that it's the highest elevation above sea level. The Swiss Alps are higher, and Eretz Yisrael is not the highest, and Yerushalayim is not the highest in Eretz Yisrael. But on the occasion of Briyas HaOlam, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the whole earth to start turning on its axis, so at that time, Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael was right in the center up top. What's the significance? Halach HaMaisa, Stam Kovet B'Yalma. Who's on top and who's on the bottom? So the Baal HaMo'or says, no, that's what the Gemara says. The earth is a globe. Every globe has two hemispheres. So in America, we speak about the Western Hemisphere, where we have culture and civilization and democracy and all the wonderful things, all the advancements of mankind. We speak about the Western Hemisphere and the rest of the world that's backward. So the Halacha also talks about two hemispheres. The hemisphere where Adam Rishon came from, where Gan Eden is in that hemisphere, that's the upper hemisphere, and the lower hemisphere is the rest of the world. So the upper hemisphere is the more important hemisphere. Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim are on top of the upper hemisphere. Every hemisphere has 180 degrees. The circle is 360 degrees. So 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim, that's the international dateline. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu started the whole world turning, so you had Eretz Yisrael on top with Yerushalayim on top, and Vahiyera, Vahivoyker, the beginning of the first Seisa Kachavim was 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. That's a dateline that cuts through Korea. And Yoni Eretz Yisrael are not only with respect to the agricultural mitzvahs, and not only that all of Eretz Yisrael has a kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, Bizman Heta Bomis, the Mechilta, the opening Mechilta says when there was a Het HaBamas, you can only bring Korbanos on a Bama in Eretz Yisrael. There wasn't a Het HaBamas in Chutz L'Aretz. See, all of Eretz Yisrael had a lower level of Kedushas based on Migdush. So Eretz Yisrael, the significance of Eretz Yisrael is not only with respect to agricultural mitzvahs, and with respect to that all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas on Migdush. Eretz Yisrael is the Jewish national homeland. That's the Mitzaref of Klal Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is considered the center of the world. Tabur Haaretz, that's what the Navi refers to. Eretz Yisrael is Tabur Haaretz, Nafkemina for the international dateline. And because Eretz Yisrael, from the very outset, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Eretz Yisrael was the center of everything, Eretz Yisrael is considered Paltan Shel Melech. That's the Ikam Mokam Shmiris HaMitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. We should all work on this. In every generation, there are certain mitzvahs that historically are more important than other mitzvahs. Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha are more important than Zionism, I'll be Pashtun. But in our generation, Zionism is the Tzav HaShoah. That's going to turn out to be more historically significant than the other mitzvahs. That's how the Meshech Chachma points out. And when the Jews were in Mitzrayim, they were Nigalu B'schus and the Schus Shalal Shina Shmam L'Shayna Malbusham. They spoke Ivrit. So speaking of it, such a big mitzvah. The answer is, if you're in Golus and you're going to assimilate, so these three nationalistic mitzvahs, Shaloshina, Shmam, Lashon, and Malbushim, are historically more important than Shabbos, Kashrus, and Taras HaMishpacha. Shabbos, Kashrus, and Taras HaMishpacha are more important than speaking Ivrit. But if you're in a Golus circumstance, so then the nationalistic mitzvahs have more historical significance. In our generation, these Zionistic mitzvahs have more significance, perhaps, than many of the other mitzvahs. Enjoy the Yantif.
I want to once again thank Rav Schechter for his time and for his insight. We're going to daven Mincha right now.